The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Joined on the line by Father Tony Flannery, Galway Redemptorist priest, author of From the Outside, Rethinking Church Doctrine, which is due to be published next month. Tony, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. We want to talk to you about this peace offering, if we'll call it that, from the Vatican. What?
Thank you.
What happened?
Well, it's 8 years since I was originally put out of ministry for views that I expressed and things I had written. And that has been going on. And various people...
Tony, first of all, just for people who are just... remind us of some of those views. What were the Vatican so angry about 8 years ago?
Originally, the main thing they made an issue about was the origins of priesthood. Did Jesus institute the priesthood? I, in one of my articles at the time, said he didn't. And at this stage, that would be the very common view of theologians and scripture scholars, that priesthood only developed maybe about 150 years after the time of Jesus. That was one of the main things. And then, of course, the standard ones, the ordination of women, teaching on homosexuality, those sorts of things.
So lots of things, really, I suppose, is the answer only to that to that question that they were angry about you for. So 8 years have passed, and what has happened recently then in terms of your relationship with the Vatican?
At various stages during the eight years, different people or groups have tried to intervene on my behalf. And on this instance, it was the Irish Redemptorists themselves who wrote a letter basically asking that the sanctions be lifted from me on the basis that when it all happened in 2012, Benedict was Pope. There was a guy called Gerhard Mueller in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the body that deals with these things. Mm. Now Francis is there. Mueller has been removed from his office. Things are very different in Rome. And the argument was, look, it's time to lift these sanctions. They make no sense. But what came was the opposite, a very lengthy and dogmatic document demanding 5 signatures from me. And if I signed all of them, then they would consider maybe gradually introducing me to ministry as long as I kept my mouth shut. Well, I'm 73 years of age. So the issues, very briefly, they're all on my website, tonyflannery.com, if anyone wants to see the full document I got. The first one had to do again with the ordination of women.
Okay.
The second one had to do with homosexual teaching. The third one had to do with same-sex relationships. And the fourth one had to do with gender theory, which is something I don't know much about and have certainly never written about. And basically each one of them was asking that I submit to the official Catholic teaching on all of these issues and that I sign my name to them.
Was it a case that you rejected signing any of them, or were there some you were more willing to sign than others, or what was your view?
The last one at the bottom then was a signature that would cover all 4 of them.
Okay. So 4 individual signatures and then one catch-all just in case there was a problem.
One covering the whole lot. The only one I might have even given some thought to signing was the one on gender theory, and that would be because I don't know enough about it to have a view one way or the other on it, and I certainly never have written about it. And if you ask me what the church teaching on it is, I could make a guess, but I wouldn't be at all sure. The other three, there was no way that I could sign them. Like, God, I've been in public on being in favour of full equality for women in the Catholic Church. But at this stage, Kevin, I'm not the only one. I mean, a Catholic commentator called Robert Mickens wrote an article the other day about my situation, and he quoted one of the top cardinals in Europe, a guy from Luxembourg, who recently said that he himself was open to the idea of the ordination of women. So, like, at that level, it's being widely discussed now.
So why, if it's being widely discussed at the level of cardinal, are the Vatican so hard on a poor old creature from the west of Ireland?
A poor old creature from the west of Ireland, you're perfectly right, Gil. I'd say it has to do a bit with the internal dynamics and conflict within the Vatican.
You'll have to explain that now to us.
Well, the people have probably have some sense of the fact that there is a great deal of opposition to Pope Francis at the higher levels of the Church, and particularly within the Vatican, the Curia, as we call it. And the Congregation for the Doctrines of the Faith would be one of the very traditional conservative groups. So I'd say could be part of them trying to re-establish the old teachings, hard line, black and white, whereas Francis is very much all the time talking about the need for dialogue, the need for people to speak openly and without fear, the need for listening to people's views. So that's going on at that level in the Vatican. I'd say I got caught in the middle of that.
I know you haven't sat down and discussed it with the Pope, but it sounds like you're suggesting if it was down to him, you'd probably have a better chance of being welcomed back to administration.
I have no doubt about that. And you see, that's what I wanted, Kim. I wanted the head man in the Redemptorists, the international head of the Redemptorists, a Canadian called Michael Braille. What I wanted him was to bypass the Congregation for the Doctrines of the Faith and lift the sanctions himself, because actually it was the Redemptorists that put the sanctions on me.
Okay.
I know they were under pressure at the time from the Vatican, but if he lifted the sanctions now, there's no way that Francis would bother his head about it. But I'm afraid Michael Braille wasn't willing to do that, and he did the very thing I didn't want him to do. He went to the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith with it and handed it over to them. And this is the end result of it. And I suppose at this stage now, Kieran, that's it with me. I've accepted the fact that I'll never be allowed to minister publicly as a priest again. And I just don't want to have anything more to do with that crowd in the Vatican, because they are so extreme in their views. And the thing that strikes you about it, there's no possibility of any openness to dialogue, to discussion, to listening to my opinions. They've never in the 8 years communicated directly with me. And you get tired of that, and life is too short to be tangling with people like that.
And do you get much support, Tony, from your colleagues in the church?
I do, really. I was one of the co-founders of the Association of Catholic Priests, and they are still very solidly in support of me. And a great many of my own colleagues in the Redemptorists would be very supportive of me.
Would many of them, Tony, agree with that sentiment? I don't want anything more to do with that crowd in the Vatican.
Oh, I'd say so. They're probably damn glad that they never caught the attention of the Vatican, because very few of the priests that I know would actually be able, honestly, to sign the document that was given to me. In fact, what I'd love, if you could do it, is to put it before the Irish bishops and see how many of them would be willing to put their names to those propositions and to have it done in the public domain. I suspect they'd have great difficulty doing it. Way out in the sense of being ultra-traditional conservative. A good few people have commented on it in the last few days since I went public on it. They said, this could have been written in the 19th century. You know, it has that tone about it, that language about it.
Yeah, and you know what else strikes me? Listen, when you talk about language from a different century, your language, I don't want anything more to do with the Vatican. The language of Henry VIII, about 500 years ago, does that ever strike you?
Well, maybe more Martin Luther than Henry VIII. No, fair comment, yes. And you see, on the other hand, I'm a great admirer of Francis, and I'd have great time for Francis, for what he's trying to do, for his whole understanding of how the church should operate. That would be very much in tune with where I'd stand.
And if we accept then there's this battle going on in the Vatican between different points of view, that the Congregation for the Doctrination of the Faith on one side and, we'll say, Pope Francis on the other, is it written in stone who will win out?
Not at all. In the next conclave, in other words, the election of the next pope, is going to be crucial. And it will be a dogfight. It really will now. I mean, it won't go public because they do it very secretly. But a lot of it will be very similar to what's happening in the American presidential election at the moment.
Mm.
Two different factions with totally different understandings of how the church should be, what way the church should behave, and it will depend on which of them wins out and gets their person elected as pope.
All right, well, look, it'll be fascinating.
So we'll hold our breath on that one.
We'll hold our breaths, and hopefully we'll have to hold them for some time yet. We wouldn't want to wish ill of His Holiness. Father, listen, great to speak to you today. Tony Flannery there, Galway Redemptorist priest, author of From the Outside, Rethinking Church Doctrine. It's published next month. People texting in, brave and honest man, Father Tony. Lovely to listen to. Someone else says, Tony is exactly the man I'd want to have at any Mass or Catholic celebration. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for those texts as well on 53106. Stay with us after the break. Like I said, we're going to be talking about that curious connection between Zoom and nose job.